Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Waco Police Chief Ryan Holt. Hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This conversation was recorded May 11th, 2017, in the KWBU studio.
Chief Ryan Holt, welcome to KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. You have a new title, but you're in no way new to the Waco Police Department. I think your career spans about 20 years with the force, but your appointment to police chief might have required a few adjustments. Tell us about that.
Well, it's you know, like you said, I've been with the department over 20 years, and so this is our home, this is our community, and when I had the opportunity to apply for chief, it was really a no-brainer for my wife and I to do that. The opportunity to serve the community is something tremendous. Now, the difference between my previous position of assistant chief for 8 years and the position of chief is it's really different. You know, as chief, I get to get out and have a lot more contact with community groups and talk about the mission and what our ideology is at the department and really work on those community relationships a lot more than as an assistant chief. I've got three great assistant chiefs, Frank Ganch, Robert Lanning, and Mark Norcross, and they really run the operations day to day so that I can concentrate on expanding the community relationship.
Well, we'll want to talk more about that, but tell us a little bit about your early days. Where did you grow up?
Sure. I grew up in the Bryan College Station area. Went to Bryan High School, so that was home back then. You know, like a lot of folks in that area, started out at Texas A&M University. Was a business major and got into accounting and figured out I didn't need to be a business major. Accounting was something that just baffled me as a young person, and so I started looking around for something that I felt was a calling, and settled on criminal justice because when I was a senior in high school, the Bryan Police Department had a Citizens Police Academy. And the coordinator at the time, Choya Walling, reached out to the high schools and had a senior from each of the major high schools come and go through it. And so it really gave me an in-depth look at what police do on a day-to-day basis. It had really never occurred to me before that you know, the police work was something I might be interested in. So when I found out that business was not what I wanted to do, or certainly not accounting, I went over to Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches and finished a criminal justice degree as my undergraduate degree.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you had, even though you had been exposed to that, you hadn't made a decision until in high school. It was not until you were in college that
You know,
decided.
It's difficult. I was one of those kids that I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And so you try to identify things that you think you might could be happy at. And it really never came to the forefront of my thought process about criminal justice until at that point in college when, once I got into criminal justice, it felt like a glove.
Well, regarding the leadership, mm-hmm. is there any one person early on or in that process who set the course for service to your community?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you look back over 20 or 30 years, the people that influence you, and so often it's those people who were in some sort of leadership position who quietly impacted those people around them. And I can say that for me, that it wasn't the people that were flashy. It were those people that provided steady leadership. And I started making note of that. People that could provide steady leadership, were calm in the face of difficult situations. And there were a number of people both at home and at the universities I attended. While I moved to criminal justice, I always had journalism or communications as my minor, regardless of where I was at. And there's a lady named Pat Spence, who was the director of the student publications over at Nacogdoches, over at Stephen F. Austin. Mm-hmm. She just retired, and she had a tremendous impact as far as leadership of a group of people and what that looks like before I ever got into law enforcement.
Well, you know, that's I think I like that description of people who are not flashy but are just doing in a calm way that influencing on young people's lives as adults' lives. And probably you've thought of her in this transition period sometime when you've had to draw on how would I handle this situation. Do you still think of her sometime?
Yeah, absolutely. We had an opportunity, several of us that had graduated from there had an opportunity to donate for a scholarship in her name. As she was retiring from the university over there. And it was a pleasure to go back and you hear literally the hundreds of lives that she's impacted just by being a steady force, you know, teaching young people how to remain calm and make good decisions in difficult situations. And so those are the people that make an impact because, you know, that's what we do as a police department. That's what you hope a police department does, is to provide steady leadership for a community through sometimes some very adverse situations. And fortunately, when I got into the police department, I've also had tremendous supervisors that I've been able to work for. And as I've gone up through the ranks, they've worked for me. People that I admire greatly that you look at them in the most difficult times, and that's when they really shine. You know, and they're not out there being loud or verbose, but they're just out there doing what needs to be done in difficult times.
You know, I think that is no small thing when you've got a large group of people, when you have those traits. And I guess when it comes to your philosophy of leadership, mm-hmm. did you adopt that philosophy for yourself to try to stay calm?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're growing up through an organization, you look at all supervisors and your peers, and you try to note the good things and also note the bad things. Mm-hmm. And so you try to emulate those things that have worked with other people, and I've had a great opportunity to see some really good leaders, in you know, that I've been able to work for, including our past Chief Brent Stroman. Mm-hmm. The difficult decisions that police officers and then supervisors have to make on a day-to-day basis can create a burden on people, but you see how those real leaders, you know, make the hard decisions, move on, and provide a steadying force. It's tremendous leadership master's course, really.
Wow. Well, when you moved from coworker to leader, mm-hmm. And I guess in your progression, you've had that experience more than once where there you were as a coworker, mm-hmm. then you moved up in the leadership. Talk a little bit about that, about how that for you personally play down.
Well, I've been very lucky in my career, being in the right place at the right time and being prepared, you know, seeking the right training and being prepared, always trying to exhibit hard work so that people could know they could count on me. It is difficult oftentimes to move from peer to supervisor, but, you know, you deploy the same reasoning that you did as a peer. You know who you can count on. You look for people to, you know, the thing is, rank doesn't mean much of anything in the hard times. It's that unofficial leadership that you look to people to provide, and those people rise to the occasion. Particularly in a police department, a quasi-military organization like that, that's when our folks do their best work is in the face of adversity. And so a lot of times it's the unofficial leaders that step up, and the people with the institutional knowledge and the operational knowledge. And I many times as a higher ranking person have deferred to a lower ranking person because of their expertise. And so you have to, it's a fine line you walk. Ultimately, you know, as the supervisor, you're responsible for whatever the actions are. But if you don't recognize somebody else's expertise in the situation, because, you know, in police work, a 40-year career is fairly common. And so as, you know, some of our young sergeants who step into that leadership role for the first time, they may be supervising people who have been working their job longer than they've been in police work. And so your good supervisors will, when they can, defer to that expertise. Now, there are sometimes, as a supervisor, you just have to make the decision. As long as you try to stay humble and recognize that there are people with more expertise than you, and you avail yourself to that advice, and have them, you know, help you, then that's, you can get the best advice there is that way.
I think that's very interesting. And for those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Chief Ryan Holt of the Waco Police Department. And when it comes to your relationship to the community, there you've got your staff, your the police force, but when it comes to the relationship in the community, talk a little bit, it may be the same traits, something different, but how do you build that respect and trust of individuals who live in the Waco community?
Sure. You know, for us, trust comes out of familiarity. If you know a person and you have some hard conversations during the peaceful times so that they know your heart, they know that you're going to make decisions for the greater good, then you establish trust there. You know, so very often mistrust comes from people who just don't know each other. They don't know where the person's heart is or where they're making their decisions from. And so that's, you know, what I try to do. And my staff, we've got fantastic community relations with the Waco area. But it comes from the fact that we go out and we have interaction with the public. We try to be as communicative as possible in all situations so that we can build those relationships so that if something bad does happen, then we can communicate through that. We might not always agree, but that's okay. You know, as long as we can communicate respectfully, then it's okay if we don't agree. But we can trust each other. We know where each other's coming from. And we cannot take our relationship with the community for granted. We have to work on it on a day-to-day basis. It's, you know, in the old days, it was, you know, you just put people in jail. Well, that's not acceptable anymore. We have to have the support of our community. That's where we derive all of our legitimacy from, is from that relationship with the community. And without that, we're ineffective.
And what would you say now that you're in your new position, you've had time to look over the landscape, what would you say is a priority to improve the relationship with the community, either a continuation or something new that you're thinking about doing?
Well, you know, one of the things we're concentrating on doing is keeping the lines of communication open, trying to go to as many of those community events as we can so that people see our police officers as their neighbors. You know, the citizens are who are our bosses in the grand scheme. And so we've just got to keep those lines of communications open. We've got some programs we want to work on. A lot of people say that the police department needs to represent the community in which they serve. I firmly believe that we have a tremendous pool of potential applicants here in the Waco area, but we lose them from the time they graduate from high school, that 17, 18-year-old time, until 21 years old when they'd be eligible to be police officers. We lose them because kids make bad decisions during this time, and we have to have particular standards. And so what we've got to do is we've got to work with the local school districts. We've already started some discussions with WISD. I had a great meeting with Connolly ISD this week. And we've got to come up with some solutions through MCC and TSTC and the city of Waco to get those kids into some educational opportunities during that period from the time they graduate from high school to when they could become police officers. And we've also got to get them some part-time work, because you're talking about a lot of kids who are not going to be able to go to college on their own or to TSTC and get one of those fantastic two-year certifications where they can go in HVAC or high-power electrical service. There's a lot of tremendous opportunities out there. But some of these kids that are graduating from the Waco area just don't have the financial means to get any education. So we've got we as the police department, if we want to tap into that, we're going to have to help bridge that gap from the time they graduate from high school until they can become a police officer. And then, you know, there are a lot of ways to serve your public. And if we can bridge that gap, and if they don't become police officers, that's okay. If we can get people thinking about public service as a career opportunity.
I think that's great. And then when you do capture that rookie police officer, mm-hmm. especially someone who's not even familiar with the community, do you yep. have any kind of special pep talk or what do you do when you have this very green person, yeah. even who might have fears and sure. reservations about what kind of job are they going to be able to do
right.
when they go out there and, you know, go out on the street and go into yep. certain communities that they're really not very familiar.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we try to integrate into all of our training is to extend empathy to people. Because so very often, particularly young police officers on the evening or midnight shift, they see people at their very worst. Those are the interactions that those officers have with people. You know, something as minor as a car wreck can really ruin somebody's day. But then when you get into situations where somebody's really been victimized, then we try to integrate into all of our training for our officers to be empathetic to those people in those terrible, terrible situations. The police officers see this on a daily basis. But the victims, this is probably the one time that they've been in this situation. And that interaction with the police officer can either help them or really probably further traumatize those victims. And so we try to build that empathy. And a lot of people don't know that it takes us about 18 to 24 months from the time we want to hire somebody wow. to get them recruited and hired and tested and all the background checks and everything we do, get them in the academy, 6 months worth of an academy. We get them out for about another 2 months. We train them in-house. And then we get them out into the field training program for another 3 months before they're ever allowed to work a call on their own. So they're having a lot of interaction with senior police officers, those field training officers, and we just make sure that they have the qualities that we want as to be standing side by side with us with the community. And I tell people, I tell all the recruits when they're fixing to get out on the street, I say, look, if it turns out that police work's not for you, please go do something else. There are a lot of fantastic people who don't need to be police officers, and we're not going to hold it against you. I'll write you a letter of recommendation if you've been a good employee for us, because there are just some people that they get into it, and it's not what they thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It can be a very difficult job, but it can also be a very rewarding job. And for some people, it's not what they want to do as a career, and they go on and do something else. We usually lose one or two out of every class. That just come to me and say, you know, Chief, it's not what I thought it was, and I want to go do something else. And so, you know, we encourage them, but we also try to take care of the folks who do decide to do this for a career. Like I said earlier, our folks do this for 40 years. And so by the time somebody retires at that age, they've worked most of their adult life as a public servant. And so it really is a way of life.
And, you know, there's a lot of social media now, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff going around just as fast as it happens. And there are also lots of stereotypes
sure.
about law enforcement yep. and some of those other than they all like donuts that you wish you could just wave a wand. What are some of those stereotypes you wish you could just say that let's do away with that?
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult time in law enforcement because of what's going on around the country. But I can tell you it's not difficult in Waco, Texas. Our community members come up to us all the time and tell us how much they appreciate the job we're doing. We still deal with some of those stereotypes of officers. And the fact of the matter is, police, because of their place in the criminal justice system, they are the first interaction that people have in the criminal justice system. But we have to remember we're just one part of the criminal justice system. And so there are issues in the entire criminal justice system. Just like any profession, there are problems in police officers around the country. But when you think about the fact that there are over 400,000 citizen contacts a day
wow.
with police officers, and in just Waco, Texas, there's over 100,000 police citizen contacts a year. So if you try to put things in perspective about the bad things that do happen, you know, it's a very, very small percentage. Now, when they do happen, we as the police have to address those things properly. We have to be open about them, and we have to do everything we need to do to address them properly. You know, one of the most difficult things is that we have systems in place for review of every situation. If a citizen comes in and makes a complaint, we take all complaints very seriously, and we investigate those. We have a public professional standards and conduct unit that's all they do are investigate complaints, and we run them all the way down to the ground, make sure that we know what happened or didn't. Sometimes we give discipline, and sometimes we find that the officer didn't do anything wrong. And then there are often times where the officers hadn't done anything technically wrong, but we use it as an opportunity to maybe work on our interaction skills. If I could, there's some restaurants around town that have that customer service thing down, and it'd be nice to grab their training modules and get them into the police department, because we really are in public service. You know, we're a service organization, and sometimes we have to be reminded of that. But on the other hand, police are the ones who are required to intervene in the most difficult situations, and sometimes that intervention requires force. And there is no use of force that looks good on camera. There's none. And unfortunately, our actions are usually dictated by the suspect's actions. And our people are highly trained, but we are human. And probably that's the single most important thing that I try to get people to remember, that behind the badge and the vest and the uniform is a human. Mm-hmm. And I tell our officers on the other side, people that make mistakes on the other side, you know, they're not bad people. They've just made mistakes of the law, but they're human. And so as long as we can keep that on a human level, then I think we're much better off.
I think that's very important. And I know that empathy is crucial to all across the spectrum. Yep. Anything you do, if you have empathy with people, you can be a leader. If you don't have empathy, yep, then you lack that ability to become a leader of other people. And one thing, just talking about the police officers, that I think is so important to remember is that every day they're laying their lives on the line. And how do you incorporate that somehow, an appreciation for that to your staff, or do you just not mention that too much, or how?
Yeah,
does
no, that's a common thread in everything we do, from training because one of the most important things is for those police officers to go home safe to their families. You're talking about mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, and we have a tremendous number of women on the force now, and so you're talking about people who are important to their families as well. One of the things that we tell our folks is that you've got to go home at the end of the day. You've got to take care of each other, mm-hmm, and you've got to ensure that you each go home at the end of the day. And this month is Police Memorial Month in the country. And next week on Thursday, we're having our Waco and McLennan County area, Police Memorial at Indian Springs Park at 11 o'clock on Thursday. And it's a moving ceremony where we honor those folks who have been killed in the line of duty in Waco. And we've had a number killed here in the line of duty and in the Waco area. A number of color guards from all the departments in the area. You know, there's 22 law enforcement agencies in the McLennan County area alone. And so most of their color guards will be there at Indian Springs Park. And it's a national celebration, but we also have that local celebration as well for those who've come before us. The families of some of those officers slain in the line of duty come and are represented there. We can pay honor to.
Well, I'm sure that is a very moving ceremony, if ever there was. And this is a little off the leadership, but I just wanted to add that, as we've talked earlier, I know your mother and mm-hmm father-in-law, Penny, yep, and Zen and Rod, and I've known them for over 25 years, and they are so proud of you. And I'm sure there's so many times when you think, oh, I wonder if I could do this job, but I know that your family is very, very proud of you, as are so many people who are wishing you well and wanting you to succeed. I certainly am one of those people who's so honored that you would come in today, take some time to talk with us, because I know your schedule is very, very busy. And I think sometimes that's what keeps policemen going, is the knowledge of the love and support of people in the community, their families, their coworkers, and it's very, very important. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. PBS is near and dear to my heart, having grown up working pledge drives for PBS.
And NPR with your mother-in-law.
NPR, absolutely. It was a no-brainer for me to come in and talk and do whatever I can to support PBS and NPR. You know, like you mentioned, family is everything. And without their support, I don't think any of us could do this job. It's too hard otherwise. And I've had a tremendous support from all of my family. So
I think no one could wish for more. Thank you.
Thank you.
This program was recorded May 11th, 2017 in the KWBU studio. You can find this and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series online at kwbu.org under the Programs tab.